So let me introduce myself in the meantime. My name is Corey Weinstein. I'm a practicing physician in San Francisco, California. Ah, thank you very much. Thank you, Lars. I really appreciate it. All right. And I'm a member of the past chair and member of the International Human Rights Committee, and I also serve on the Jail and Prison Health Committee of the Medical Care Section. I've been a prisoner rights advocate and primarily visiting prisoners and doing human rights advocacy with prisoners for the past 38 years in California. And so I was moved to, because of that, really moved to look a little more at the kind of so-called debates there are in California, at least the kind of public information there is that is presented about the migrant population, particularly the migrant population from Central America, that confuses and confounds us, that alters these kinds of debates, and I think interferes with reasonable debate and public health and public interventions in relation to the problems of people who are immigrants. And I would say that the important issues concerning immigrants coming to the U.S. are too often confused by prejudice and petty politics. There are thoughtful explanations and very good studies on the subject that of the effect of migrants on the economy, health services, and our criminal prosecution and detention system, but it's too often kind of the loud voice of what you might call axe to grind internet sites and sensation-seeking commentary parading as news. I guess that's the high channels up on our cables that create the foundation of this quite bewildered discourse. As public health practitioners, we can feel, I would say, aloof from much of this distressing jabbering around us. We just provide the services to these folks and whoever comes before us and engage in programs to relieve even some of the burdens of poverty and ill health that drive people from their homelands. We can be the good guys. Now, illegal immigrants, I like the word irregular. I like that. That's a word that's not familiar to me, and I think it's a useful term. Maybe I'll just substitute that. Irregular immigrants are blamed for everything from our crime rates and public fiscal problems to hospital closures, epidemic illnesses. Yet we are a nation of immigrants, aren't we? Most of our families have U.S. histories of less than 150 years. And many of our families arrived in the U.S. having broken or bent any rule that stood in the way of a better life for their loved ones. My great aunt Seal used to tell these great, captivating stories of how her uncle carried her in a blanket through the snow illegally across Europe in the winter in order to get to the U.S. My great grandmother actually snuck through Ellis Island without getting her immunization. She saw everyone who had the immunization in the line with their hand like this, ouch. And so she didn't want an immunization. So she just put her hand like this and got in that line. And there are many such stories told or kept secret in our families that make this so-called dialogue kind of a little more interesting, I think. Now, there are a good example of how immigration concerns are distorted comes along with these public health concerns. And I just want to mention a few before I talk about the issue of criminality, because we are public health workers here. And there are these websites all over the place. Just Google and cry to see them. There's one website called FAIR, F-A-I-R, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Now, they claim that illegal immigrants are responsible for a disproportionate share of serious public health problems, okay? The article leads with a story from the Houston Chronicle about the pork tapeworm, threatening to ravage victims with symptoms ranging from seizures to death. Certainly, cysticercosis is an important disease, and there are about 1,000 new cases each year in the U.S., particularly in the Southwest. And 10% of adult onset seizure patients in L.A. County are diagnosed with this condition. That's been responsible for about 225 deaths from 1990 to 2002. And fully cooked pork and hand washing of food preparers and servers, these are important preventive measures to reinforce, and physicians need to be aware of this disease while evaluating patients with suggestive symptoms, especially adult onset seizures. But as is the common media report language, ravaging victims, you know, is designed to stir our emotions more than to assist in serious public health debate or education. Public health practitioners are well aware that the rate of TB in the U.S. has been declining for many years, except between the years 1985 and 1992. And this FAIR website just goes on and says, well, the rise in TB is all due to illegal immigrants, they say, without mentioning, of course, that the contribution of the AIDS epidemic to the TB rates during those years. There are other scares that have been sounded about illnesses related to migration, Chagas disease, and the blood supply. And these websites will go on and on about the danger of that disease and the tainting of the blood supply, without mentioning, again, the excellent public health controls and blood banking controls that have already been instituted, which then protect the blood supply in relation to this condition. And issues around leprosy, dysentery, even typhoid are raised. And there are good public health people who actually say, deliver the public health message. A fellow public health officer in Texas, Dr. Lawrence Nicky, testified to Congress, and he said that people who come to the borders for economic opportunities, but the necessary sewage treatment facilities, public water systems, environmental enforcement, and medical care have not been available to them. So he gives the public health message and the public health perspective. But what these websites, of course, pick up are that he mentions the words leprosy, TB, and dysentery, and they ignore the rest. So this is kind of how that whole dialogue is skewed by this kind of strange chatter that then seeps into the daily thoughts of all of us. And what of criminality? Well, like the overblown or outright false information about illness, those who want to close our borders have pounded on the drum of alleged criminality of immigrants. Bill O'Reilly, perhaps you're familiar with him, the talk show host who never let facts stop him from making a point, you know, said on his TV show, the number of horrific crimes committed by illegal aliens, what did he say? Is mounting, yeah. And the nation's prisons are full of men from foreign countries who have come to the USA and hurt people. Likewise, the anti-immigrant think tank Center for Immigration Studies led their recent policy report with, quote, some of the most violent criminals at large today are illegal aliens. Another CIS report begins with, quote, in recent years, it has become difficult to avoid perceiving immigrants, legal or not, as overwhelming this country with serious crime. I think the key word there is perceiving, and they're trying to help us perceive just that. Newsmax.com, another, you know, website claiming to be news, reported in 06 as fact this false information that the Investor's Business Daily stated that some estimates show illegals now make up half of California's prison population, creating a massive criminal subculture that strains state budgets and creates a nightmare for local police forces. These opinions become facts that get sent with the speed of light across the internet and appear in newspapers and are spoken as the truth on radio and TV talk shows. In the just cited Investor's Business Daily article, it also stated that the U.S. Justice Department estimated that 270,000 illegal immigrants served jail time nationally in 2003. Now, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But you have to remember the average jail time is 72 hours. And in 2003, there were about 7.2 million jail admissions. So in the context of that, 270,000 isn't that many. Now, there are some serious reporters, and I'll report on a particular study as well in just a minute, but there are some serious reporters who actually commit journalism. One of them worked for this Times-Dispatch in Virginia Beach, Virginia, a guy named A. Barton Hinkle. He did some digging stimulated by a report from the North Carolina Sheriff's Association that 11% of the county jail inmates in that state were foreign-born, whereas only 7% of the state residents were born outside the U.S. In the metro area of North Carolina, the difference was even more pronounced, with 1 in 5 being foreign-born. So Hinkle was intrigued by this and did some digging. He found that in Virginia, his state, the state crime commission had reported that the total number of individuals in a Virginia jail at some point during 2007 was about 200,000. This number was 6%. Of this, 6% were determined to be illegal, which is twice the estimate of the state's residents that are illegal immigrants. But he discovered something very, very interesting, which is that in Virginia prisons, not jails, and they're different, right? Jails are short-term detention facilities for under a year. Prisons are where people are sent for felonies and who are going to serve more than a year, or parole violations. So in the prisons, irregular migrants were only 1.5% of the incarcerated population. So these men and women were committing fewer, not more, of the serious offenses that result in prison rather than jail time. Hinkle concluded that the higher percentage in jails reflected their undocumented status alone. And I think he's right, that an irregular immigrant who gets pulled over for a busted taillight might go to jail because he has no driver's license, or simply because he cannot produce adequate ID under various other circumstances. So Hinkle concludes, and I think it's telling, and we have to watch both sides, and I think he's correct. The stats draw a complex picture that makes it hard for impartial Virginians to reach hard and fast conclusions. That won't stop the activists on either side, who are sure to cherry pick the number they like and dismiss the numbers they don't. And this we see all the time, and it really is hard to kind of understand what is happening, aside from those who have axe to grind on both sides, even if you agree with one side or the other. There is a good study of the by the Public Policy Institute of California, and I would advise you to check out their website, and you can send for the study or download it. They published a detailed analysis of crime and immigration in February of this year. This PPI, the Public Policy Institute, has done a series of reports on California called California Counts, and they've looked at things like death rates, birth rates, community college students, the effect of migrants on employment and wages, and other things. This one is called Crime Corrections in California, and they use the best demographic information to answer the question, do immigrants add to the crime risk in the population? And in their initial look at it, they found reasons to assume that the foreign-born population of California would in fact increase the criminal activity. It would make sense if they did, for this reason alone, that they have the characteristics that are usually associated with criminality. The migrant population is young and male and uneducated. And if you want to kind of decide who out there is going to commit a crime, and you pick someone from that group, even though you won't find many, of course, most people are law-abiding, but you're more likely to find the person in that group. And in fact, migrants have dramatically lower education than native-born Californians. They have 20% have a grammar school education or less, whereas only 1% of native Californians have such. So we said they're young, they're male, and they're undereducated. And there are other reasons that, however, there are other reasons to think otherwise as well, of course, because those who enter legally have been screened for past crimes, so those who come in through the legal channels may certainly have not had major crimes, so that would otherwise preclude their migration. But also non-citizens have an incentive to avoid criminal activity and contact with law enforcement as they risk deportation if discovered. So there's issues and complexities on both sides to try to figure that out. Now, the Policy Institute points out that people use the percentage of migrants and non-citizens in federal prison to kind of prove the point of criminality of the migrant population. But that's just, again, a false number, because non-citizens are subject to federal court jurisdiction for violations of the immigration law, so will disproportionately wind up doing time in federal lockups. So that's one of the reasons they focused. They said, let's look at California. We're the perfect state to look at this, because the state prison in California contains 30% of all the non-citizen prisoners in the whole United States. So if we look at California, we're likely to understand the United States in one chunk. So in 2005, there were about 28,000 foreign-born adults and 139,000 U.S.-born adults in California prisons. And if you look at these compared to the population statistics of California, we see that the foreign-born have an incarceration that is less than half that of U.S.-born. This figure is even more striking if you take into account the youth and lack of education of those born outside the U.S. Native-born men have an incarceration rates that are 2.6 higher than those who are foreign-born men. And they found that U.S.-born were 1.6 more likely to be incarcerated for crimes against persons than those born elsewhere. But it's still, we don't know this issue of irregular versus legal immigrants, so it doesn't break that down. So they had to look at other things, and these are not easy statistics to come by. So they did a very sophisticated analysis that I barely understand, seeing as I'm just a practicing doc out there. But I think I got it, but I don't know that I can explain it to you, so I'll let you get the study. But they did conclude, using Mexican men as an indicator population, using a variety of methods to figure this out, the Institute concluded that, quote, however one measures it, Mexican-born men are dramatically underrepresented in California prisons and other institutions. Thus, it appears when we look behind the headlines about a particularly gruesome crime or opinions based on anti-immigrant propaganda, the data shows that immigrants, even illegal ones, do not engage in excessive criminal activities. They looked at another set of data to try to get confirmatory or non-confirmatory data of their conclusion. And this I thought was pretty interesting. They checked it by looking at crime rates in cities based on their influx of migrants. So they look at 29 cities in California, and they were explored for the influx of foreign-born people between 2000 and 2005 and their crime rates. So they looked at these things. The analysis revealed that in those communities with a high influx of immigrants, there were significantly fewer violent crimes and a small but not statistically significant drop in property crimes. Therefore, this separate study supports the conclusion that criminal activity of the foreign-born in California is less than that of the native-born population. This Policy Institute studies are further supported by a different publication from the Migration Policy Institute, which looked at imprisonment among first and second generation young men. The MPI paper concluded that incarceration rates are extraordinarily low among immigrants, and that those rates rapidly rise by the second generation. So that's something that that family can look forward to, that as people get acculturated and become normal citizens of California, then they begin to commit crime more. So that's good. Mass immigration into the U.S. does present significant challenges for a sagging public health sector infrastructure and all of the variety of public institutions. The arrival of people from Mexico is the largest single migratory activity in the world today into the U.S. Yet when the data about crime and immigration is looked at carefully, it is clear that immigrants do not present an excess burden of crime within our communities. Thank you very much. And I do have some of the papers in the back if you would like that I've just presented. Or if you can't get one, come and see me afterwards, and I'll give you my email. I think we're going to take questions right afterwards. Is that correct, Dr. Hedges?
Yes.